This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now. What's up, guys? We're live. Episode 51 of the Before the Train Wreck series. I'm joined today by my good friend, Rollo Tomasi. What's up, brother?
Hey.
So, Rollo's...
I was just going to say, everybody caught me talking to you. I have been on the hill today. I finally got out on the sled. And what's funny is, as like right this morning before my buddy Greg said, hey, let's go up because there's nobody up there. you got into it with some feminists about cooking, and I actually dropped an old post that I had about cooking, just sort of as a follow-up to that, and I had no idea how big that would go while I was up on the hill. And I come back and I'm like, holy shit, what's going on?
Yeah, I I'm gonna start going through all of those red flag points, because they always want to argue with you about the tweets that you share. And it's like, okay, well, if you have 10,000 people that took a survey and they're saying my preference is women that know how to cook, or my preference is women that don't have a massive notch count, what are you going to argue next?
Yeah.
Right? Like 88% are saying, yes, I prefer a woman that would cook, that knows how to make food.
I wrote about this. I did actually, it wasn't posted on my site. It was on Del Rock's site a long time ago. This was like back in 2014. And we were talking about, he mentioned something about how ugly feminists don't like to cook, because cooking is actually, I mean, when you think about it from the perspective of a woman, when a man cooks, it means one thing. When a woman cooks, it means something else. Mm. And so what, of course, what everybody says, because they all believe in blank slate equalism, they're like, it doesn't matter. Everybody cooks. Men can be feminists, and those male feminists cook. And it's like, it is completely missed the point. And I was sort of just tagging that on to what you were posting about. And I had no idea that was going to be so aggravating. And when you look at the critics, it's all like the middle schoolers come out. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in lockdown right now. So school's not
you're a big pee pee dum dum head, Rollo. Okay. Good argument.
And then it's like you can come, and I've told you this before, everybody on Twitter, including myself, including you, including everyone on Twitter is insane.
Oh yeah.
If you're new to Twitter, get off. Just get off. Don't even start.
If you haven't noticed, if you follow me on Twitter, I do use it for a specific reason. There's some data collection points. It's for reach, and it's also triggering too.
Yeah, I'm going to be on. John from Modern Life Dating's his private channel, because he's doing the body language mastery, I guess, part two or whatever. Mm. And this is the last week, so I'm going to be on tomorrow in the morning. So I got to get up crack of dawn to go do that. But one of the things that he was saying, and this body language mastery is just part of a greater whole, I think, for the guys that get together and they all just kind of shoot the shit. And one of the things that John said, and I 100% agree with this, is when you get up in the morning, like when you're starting your day and whatever, he says, never go on Twitter first thing in the morning. And I do all the time, because I work on Twitter. I have to use it for engagement. I'm using it for advertising as an author. Twitter is a really good resource for me, so I kind of have to do that. But I 100% agree. If you don't have to be on Twitter, don't go on Twitter, because it will ruin your freaking day.
Yeah, you can't take people seriously.
I was having a great day. I don't know why I'm so dry today. I was having a great day until I got back from sledding.
See, okay, let's spend a couple of minutes on Twitter since we're on it already. So here's what I've learned about Twitter before we talk about this topic tonight. One, Do not fucking respond to any of your notifications unless it's somebody that you follow. So I only get notified of ats back or replies back from people that I follow. If it's anybody else, I don't. Close your DMs. But, you know, that's my view. I know a lot of people keep their DMs open. Just close your DMs because people will fill them up with mindless shit. It'll either be mindless stuff or it'll be anger and hate, people just basically shitting on you directly in your DMs. I had one that I showed you guys earlier today. It was this crazy feminist that was basically arguing with my autoresponder. But those things for me just keep it so much simpler. It's like, I'm in, I'm out. I use the private chats that, you know, we have, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Rolo's totally right. I mean, you can get lost in a rabbit hole of just nonsense fighting with people that are, in fact, nobody's. Like, I actually privatized the tweets or protected the tweets, you know, whatever it's called, for like a full day, because I wanted to see who was requesting to follow. And it was something like 90%. Like, I got well over 100 requests, but over 90% were either sock puppet accounts with less than 10 followers, Twitter egg accounts.
Egg account block. I just out of hand. If I look at if you have something, and like, what's funny to me is, like, there'll be an egg account. And if people don't know what an egg account is, it's like an account that was started like yesterday. And usually when people do that, it's people that you've already blocked or who hate your guts. And they start they go to the trouble of starting a whole new account just so they can tell you that they hate your guts.
Yeah.
And so whenever I see that, if you have an egg account that has like started the same month, like for instance, April 2020, I'm going to block you. That's just because you're probably somebody I've blocked in the past, and there's just somebody trying to get around that block. Mm-hmm. I always do that. And then the other thing that I always block is, what else is it? Egg accounts and something else. What was the other one that I blocked?
Stupid people that follow stupid people.
Well, yeah, I always, that's another thing, is that if I see something like that, I will go and I'll look at, see what people are following. And if you have like, if I've blocked like more than like three of the people that you've blocked, I will probably just up and block you anyways, because it's pointless. It's a time sink. Twitter is a huge, huge time sink. And as I am working on book four right now, I realize just how much of a time sink it is. And then when I take a day off like today, and then I come back and I look at what happened while I was gone, I'm like, why am I doing it? Well, the reason I'm doing this is because it's engagement as an author. It's good because people have questions, and there's very rarely are there like people who have genuine questions who want to talk with you. But most of the time, like, it's pointless, because I'm not going to change anybody's mind. You don't change anybody's mind on
Twitter.
Everybody's a literalist. Everybody's an autist.
The interesting thing about you, though, is you're always curious when it comes to people, specifically women that want to challenge the idea. And you'll engage them. And then at some point, it's like, you know, two or three back, you're like, all right, you know, we're back to square one. You've just proven my point.
You know what? That's a really good segue into what we're going to talk about today.
Exactly.
Because one of the things I do, and I'm guilty of this all the time, but what I do is sometimes, occasionally, when a feminist or when it's a female that comes back, and usually it's like the middle school taunts, or it's that tweet that I was trolling Ivan Throne back in 2017, and it was this thing about a Chinese sculptor. I knew who the sculptor was. I was just sort of baiting Ivan back then, but because people thought that they were getting Ivan, they were like, because everybody, he had a big target on him back then. In fact, he had more followers than I did back then. And so people were really angry at Ivan. And because I was kind of like trolling it, I was just joking around with Ivan back then. And people go, oh, see, you got burned. And it's like, that's a 3.5-year-old tweet, and that's the best you can throw at me? Come on. Give me some credit.
It's not real life.
I need better haters, man. I need better hate. Somebody, you know, at least throw something at me. So what people will do, like guys will do, is they'll say, why are you engaging with this person? Or why are you breaking your own rule? Because I always talk about appealing to women's reason, which is what we're going to talk about here in a little bit. And people say, well, you're appealing to reason. I go, yeah, I am. But think of it this way. I'm not actually trying to convince this woman to think anything different, because I know that I'm not going to change an eighth grade mindset about whatever it is that they're convinced right now. But I do this because I think I'm doing it sort of as a public service announcement. So like, if people who are like guys are reading this and they realize, well, what would Rolo say if somebody said this to him? Well, it's sort of like a counter argument you know, debate kind of thing. And then, of course, what happens, and this is why I tell Ryan this all the time, is when you get into why isn't there a red pill woman? Well, because at some point she's going to devolve into that middle schooler who's going to say you have a small PP.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put out the most well thought out, critically thought out tweet like that, the thread that I put out there, and people will go, no, men can be feminists. And it's all based on this. It's all non sequiturs. Everything they say doesn't follow along with anything that I said. And then it's usually just stupid ad hominem, you know, schoolyard taunts.
All right, so let's do this. Thanks for the super chat, Neo. Appreciate it. So we decided to have this topic, this conversation about attraction or arousal or dating advice, all of that stuff. We're just going to kind of roll it into a big ball, and whether or not you should take it from women, or if there's anything useful in it, or if there's anything that you should take as far as the advice they give you for the most part. I think Rollo and I pretty much agree on this. How should we start this? Okay, I'll start this with, so I subscribe to some channels. One of the channels that I am still subscribed to is Alexander Grace. Now, this is not a takedown video or a hit video or anything like this. I legitimately like the interviews that he does with women on the street. I think there's some useful trinkets you can pull out of that. Now, he has a new business where he's going to be, so this showed up in my feed. My new business is paying women to be honest. So he's telling guys that these three women that he's recruited will be honest with you and give you feedback on why you suck with women and how to get the girl, which is a question that we get often. How do you get the girl, Rollo? How do you get the girl? So the solution is his new business, which is to charge you $70 to get feedback from either Sharon, Amelia, or Ava.
Sharon. Now,
I know you watched the video, and I know you watched, I think, at least one or two of these, ladies' videos.
Stomach, yes.
And they basically come off like dating profiles, video dating profiles, would you say?
Pretty much. That's all there. I think it's like when you said, oh, Alexander's Grace is doing this, I'm like, yeah, of course. Who else is going to do this? You
know? Yeah.
Something I would expect from him.
So what you are required to do is you send your $70, you record a 10-minute video unlisted on YouTube with an email. This is all public, right? So this is no secret business plan. This is all public on the description. So I'm just reading this to you. You wait for the PayPal invoice, you make the payment, and then you record a video telling one of these three ladies to provide feedback to you on your name, how old are you, what do you do for a living, what are your financial circumstances? What do you want to achieve in life, long and short term? How would you describe your personality? What has your dating life been like recently? Describe your most significant relationships. And then these women are going to listen to all 21 of your responses and then tell you what they think that you should be doing. I'm suspecting. I mean, did you gather that this was like a send them the 21 question pitch and then she's going to tell you what to do to get the girls?
More or less.
That was my impression of it.
I want to be fair from the outset here. It's not just these three girls. He says he's got more on the way. So it's not just them. What I find interesting is that in a sense, he's trying to do what Tristan Tate and Andrew Tate do. He's pimping these girls. They're not taking their clothes off, but he's the middleman between like facilitating the guys to go and, you know, do a presentation or whatever, like here's who I am, please give me some honest advice. And I think it's interesting that even in the age of OnlyFans and the age of cam girls and stuff like that, that we still need to we need to incentivize them with money to tell you the truth about things. But I will say this from the outset, when I was watching this and I'm looking at sort of the pitch here, and again, this is like Rich said, this is not a takedown video. I understand what he's doing, and I understand what his motivation for doing this comes from. What I call male deductive logic. Men are deductive problem solvers, and I've said, if you've read my book, you will understand what I mean by this. Is that when a blue pill guy doesn't know how to get laid or doesn't know why girls don't like him, his deductive mind goes in just like, you know, a rational, reasonable person would. If I need something, how do I get there? I want to have sex. I want a girlfriend. How do I do that? I ask them what they want. That's A. Then I become and do what they want. That's B. Then C is now I'm more attractive, and then that equals me getting what I want. And that's like just male bonehead deductive logic. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple plan. The problem is that most of these guys are not going to be told the truth, even if they're paying for the truth. So
can women ever offer useful dating advice to guys in a feedback scenario, like with the 21 questions that we saw there?
I don't think so. And I think put it this way. I think it is, if let's just say for sake of argument that the possibility of that might be true, but I'd say that it is so rare that you should just simply, your rule ought to be that women simply don't give you good dating advice. Now I'll tell you why that is. And you probably understand this because you've read my books. I have a chapter in there that's a pretty well-known chapter called Just Get It. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this show with you is because I've been planning on doing some more like remedial, you know, Red Pill 101 kind of stuff. And in that, I wanted to talk about Just Get It. Now, this is why I would, when I see Alexander Grace and I see what he's doing, I understand where it's coming from, but it's coming from a blue pill beta perspective that if I do these things, then women are going to tell me the honest truth so that I can change myself to be more acceptable to women, to these women in particular. But the premise is this, is that these three women are going to, you're only going to get to talk to one for $70, right? I hope I'm right about that. Like $70 gets you an interview, I guess, with one of these girls. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that you pick the one that you like.
Okay. So Technically a cam whore business, only you're not actually seeing her take her clothes off. She's pretty much berating you. It's almost like a dominatrix, you know, like when guys will pay like women to like whip them and make them like walk around on doggy collars and like these high powered, like think of it, the stereotype is like the high powered CEO pays his dominatrix to beat him up and make him write bad checks and all that stuff. It's that kind of, I got that kind of vibe when I was seeing this. I'm like, so essentially loser guys who can't get laid, who want to know how they can, are going to pay these women $70 to give them the harsh, honest truth, because otherwise they wouldn't give it to them for any other reason. They certainly wouldn't give them a freebie. So it sort of perpetuates this stereotype that women aren't going to tell you anything anyways. They're never going to give you an honest shake unless there's a $100 bill attached to it. So in a sense, it's kind of like prostitution, only there's no sex involved. It's just, I'm going to be honest with you, and here is my honesty to the tune of $70. And I don't know how much he's taking off of that. I mean, in a sense, it's kind of brilliant because he's pandering to an audience of guys that are, you know, more or less just like him. And he doesn't understand it. He's never understood it. And he's not going to, you know, the reason why this seems like a good idea to him is because he still believes in what most blue pill guys believe, which is that that we're all the same. We're all alike. Women should be just as rational as men, or could be if we just incentivize them with money. And therefore, if I give them money, they'll be honest with me. And because they're just like I am, they're going to give me a fair shake. And if I take that advice, then my life is going to improve because I gave $70. It's like taking a class, right? If you take a class, you want to know the information of that class at the end of that class. So that's what you're expecting, that these are teachers that can give you some kind of useful information to improve your life with. And the problem is this, and I think you and I have talked about this before. Do you remember the guy that that made the Excel spreadsheet?
Spreadsheet guy, yeah.
Spreadsheet guy.
You wouldn't get sex.
That was the one. That was one of them. There was the other one where that was a guy who made an Excel spreadsheet because he petitioned, like he didn't understand. He did pretty much what Alexander Grace is doing here. He would petition girls and he made like a spreadsheet of all the things that they said. And he basically went to them and said, look, I'm this way. I'm a good catch. I'm in decent shape. I'm not like a bodybuilder, but like I work out. I'm not fat. I have a job. I love my mother. I like puppy dogs. I like all these things. How come I'm not attractive? Right. And so what he did was he took a spreadsheet and he did this breakdown of all this data, and it doesn't translate into an ounce of pussy for the guy. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what's going to happen with this whole shebang.
Yeah. I got a few super chats that rolled in here, so let me hit them on real quick and we'll go back to the conversation. Photoman said, haters make for some of the best entertainment, the sweet reward for your hard work. This is always true. Nathan, my brother, Nathan Dunn from Australia. Thanks, Rollo and Rich, for personally helping me to spend. Depends on if she's screwing you or not. You take a woman's advice with a grain of salt and what's driving their opinion. If she's a chore or a bore, then ignore. And Lance Carmichael, Rich and Rollo, thank you for what you do. I recommend your work for so many guys. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the super chats. I'm going to take, oh, there's one more here, and then we'll break back to going back in. Edmundo, from my experience, women will tell you what only benefits them in exactly the way you want to hear it. I agree with that. What do you think of that? Let's segue back in.
So, what was that again? From my experience, women will tell you what you want. Yeah, what benefits me. Yeah, okay. I talked about this a little bit when I was talking about hobbies. There are certain things that, like guys will say, well, if you have a hobby that is, if you have a hobby that is something that is beneficial or directly or indirectly beneficial to a woman, then she's going to, that's going to be okay. She doesn't have a problem with that. But if she has, like, if you're, I was talking about this,
like before, Warhammer, like that
clip Warhammer, right? Yeah. Like my, you have a hobby. I have lots of hobbies. So it's not just Warhammer. Like I do a lot. I just got back from sledding, right? That's a cool hobby. Like women love that, but women don't like, by and large, women don't like Warhammer. Women don't like it when you collect Legos. You know, I don't collect Legos, but I'm saying that was a topic that I was talking about. But you're not going to get this question sort of goes back to what I was talking about with the idea of just get it. Women want a guy who just gets it. And that's the problem, the overarching problem with this whole, you know, what amounts to a cam girl business. The problem is that when I think I've mentioned this to you before, when we talk about the observer effect, observing a process will change that process. So hopefully these guys don't think that they're going to be able to get with these girls, which maybe, you know, from the get-go, I don't think that there's any sort of pretense that these guys are actually going to end up dating these girls. But I think that most guys who would do this, like think of the guy who would do this. He's a guy who doesn't get it. He has to go to women to ask women, what do I have to do? Tell me what to do. I'll do anything to make you love me. How do I get you to love me, to want me, to have sex with me, to start a family with me? How do I solve my reproductive problem with you? The very act of asking that disqualifies you from ever getting with that girl, because an alpha would already know that. And that's the way that hypergamy works with women, is they want a guy who just gets it. He doesn't have to be told that he is, that, you know, how to get the girl. He doesn't have to be. That's when PUA came out, one of the things that really disgusted women back in the early days of PUA was that any guy would actually ever have to learn how to be good with women. And it's something that, it's a skill. It's, you know, particularly for guys who don't have, who have a, let's just be polite, have a lower social intelligence. Okay. Those guys, the reason they do body language mastery, the reason they would do this, the reason they read my book, the reason that they ask for consults and, you know, is because they don't, and they need to understand that. And like you got Dr. Jordan Peterson, he's like the father figure that these guys didn't have. Why is he attractive? Why is he somebody that they seek out as sort of this father figure substitute? Because they never got it. They need somebody to teach them and tell them how to do things. But when a woman realizes that, it is disgusting to her. It triggers the revulsion response in women, because this is a guy who needs to ask and needs to figure out for himself how to be masculine. You don't come to a woman to ask her how to be masculine. She might even tell you, but you're never going to get with that girl, because that's the kind of guy who will do anything to get with that girl. They don't want that. That's low value.
Let me ask you this question. So he's got these three girls. Here, I'll just quickly grab my screen so you guys can get an idea of what we're looking at here. You can go look at this yourself later.
I will.
So he's got these three girls, Ava, Amelia, and Sharon. So you get to pick which one you want to, I guess, criticize you and tell you what you need to do to get the girl.
Yeah, your dominatrix is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dominatrix.
We've got a British girl that lives in Italy that is a language teacher, a student, and a mid-30s esthetician. I'm guessing that when somebody would select them, what they probably do is they just kind of go in and they're like, this is the kind of girl that I think I would like to attract, so I'm going to go and ask her her opinion. Here's my 21 questions. Tell me what I need to do to get you, without him actually saying that. And then these guys go and spend the $70 and they get their video reply back from one of these ladies. I guess you can start to see which one's more popular based on the views right now, which is interesting. But doesn't this tool look like I mean, it's really a tool for them to facilitate their own hypergamy, because when you watch their introductory video, they're either 7, 6, or 10 minutes long. When you watch their introductory video, it's, here's who I am. This is where I grew up. This is what I do for a living. This is why I'm special. And like, they're all dressed up. One of them's even wearing a robe with half her boob hanging out. And then they're going and, you know, kind of walking them through their life in the car. Like they're actually having a conversation with them, making a connection.
They have to look attractive and arousing.
So yeah. It feels like to me that the women are using these video pitches to sort select through all everything that comes in. Like when they turn on their dating app and they have automatic matches, then they get to pick whoever it is they want to talk to. It's like the way that Bumble works, because they make the first contact. It feels like to me like they're using this to kind of filter through the riffraff for themselves, though.
Oh, let me ask you this: does this not sound like a cam girl thing? It's just it's
pick your girl, pay for the service, and there you go. Mm. It's just, rather than taking the clothes off, the service is, tell me what's wrong with me. I can tell you what's wrong with you. If you're gross, you're gross. Go and do some work on yourself. If you're broke, you're broke. Go make some money, right? Like, it's just, you know, and
in a sense, it seems, and this, knowing what I know about Alexander Grace's personality, this seems like the safe way to get into the same kind of business as Tristan Tate or Andrew Tate, right? But they're helping guys.
Yeah, but I question the way
of pimping out girls.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing, though. I question the authenticity of who these women are, because he described in the intro video that they're his female fans or followers. And I'm not sure why they would be watching his stuff. Like, I've got a lot of views on my channel, and any female fan or follower that I've ever come across, they're not even remotely attractive. And they're really just kind of like well past their prime. They're trying to figure out why they got to that point and what guys talk about. Like, they just want to be a fly on the wall sort of thing.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see who the next round of, candidates come from.
That's interesting to say that too, because if you look at these,
I don't know if you noticed that.
Like, well, I mean, what, the oldest one of them looks like she might be in.
She's like 35. Sure.
35, right? Yeah. And the other ones look like they're. I think he even said this in the video. Like, one of them's 25. One of them's like, most of them are between their ages of like, say, 23 and 35, I guess.
Yeah. Here I'll break it down for you. I was just watching it earlier.
Prime dating.
Late 20s. So we got epiphany phase. We got party years, and we got wall.
And wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, at least he's covering his bases in that respect.
Yeah, he's covered all of yours.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, because by if we're just going to use, again, deductive reasoning, if this is about what he claims it is, it shouldn't matter what that woman is about. A 70-year-old woman should be able to give as good of advice as these girls are. But the problem is you're not going to get that, like, because guys aren't going to be interested in listening to what someone as old as a grandmother is going to tell them about themselves, because she doesn't seem relevant to the kind of girl that they want to get with, which is, again, why I keep saying this is sort of it's the softcore porn version of pimping out girls. And I think what's going to, now correct me if I'm wrong, this is one thing I didn't catch.
I've never got useful advice from a woman on attraction or arousal.
I've got a couple of posts here that I have queued up, but so what I'm wondering here is this, like, if he was genuine about, if he was you know, being genuine about what his purpose and his intent of this is. Like he makes this very impassioned plea to guys saying, if you guys really need to know what a girl really thinks about you, you can pay this fee. And then I've got these girls, you choose one of them and they will give you an honest assessment of yourself. And okay. So from a, like a scientific, like from a male deductive logic perspective, that seems rational, right? Why wouldn't you?
That's how we like to operate.
Yeah. But just by looking at the girls that he selected as the first three, I can tell you right now, that's not what this is about. It's about guys wanting to have that connection with women. That's, well, the first thing that the Tate brothers will say is that it's not so much about sex. They can see the like, guys can go jerk off the porn all they want to. They want a connection. And that's really what this is about, is that having that connection with that girl. And now she's his dating coach. I don't
think remember Kezia Noble. I used to call her Tits McGee when I first got onto YouTube. Kezia Noble, she's like a female dating coach. She was that British girl, very attractive. Let me see if she's still on here because I'm actually curious. But I mean, she basically do like, you know, like I'm your wingman sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Kezia Noble.
One of the things that a lot of guys will throw at me when it comes
this chick.
When it comes to female, put it up.
Hang on. This one here.
Oh, she looks familiar. I think maybe you've mentioned her before.
Yeah. She's got 500,000 subs close to now anyway, but she basically wears very revealing clothing, push up bra tops, you know, best-selling author. I'm your personal wingman. I'll teach you how to get, you know, oops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, pulled the wrong one out.
She's not lounging around in her sweatpants.
No.
Yeah, so
she's selling something.
Yeah, there is something that's being sold there. The same thing with Alexander Grace, the same thing with Tristan and them. Something's being sold here. Alexander Grace is just the middleman.
Can I just show you what she's selling here?
These girls.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
See what she's selling?
I'm going to be your wingman. Yeah. No, you're not. You're the meat.
Sweater meat.
You're what I want to get. Sweater meat. Yes. Let me read this real quick, because this is part of the female dating advice that I was talking about, and this is and this is part of that. It says, the guy with the capacity to call a woman's bluff with a confidence that implies she is to be worthy of him rather than the other way around is the man to be competed for. Essentially, the girl speak chick advice phenomenon is a shit test written large. That's what this really is. Okay, so only there's a middleman making money off of it right now. And even your own mother and sisters are in on it, expecting you to just get it, to get the message and see the challenge for what it really is without overtly telling you. That's the same thing. Like when we talk about shit tests, the way you pass a shit test is not by going, I understand this is a shit test, so let's dissect everything. You pass a shit test by playing the game and winning the game by passing the shit test, not saying, oh, we're playing a game, are we? Now, so then the rest of this is she wants you to get it on your own without having to be told how. That initiative and the experience needed to have had developed it makes you a man worth competing for with other women. Women despise a man who needs to be told to be dominant. Overtly relating this to a guy entirely defeats his credibility as a genuine dominant male. The guy she wants to bang is dominant because that's just the way he is, instead of who she had to tell him to be. Observing the process will change the process. This is the root function of every shit test ever devised by a woman. If masculinity has to be explained to a man, he's not the man for her. This is why female dating advice is always bad, because just the act of you seeking out advice from a woman disqualifies you for women. They want you to just get it. That's why women are disgusted by guys who teach other guys how to get laid. And why is that? Well, because women have the hypergamous filter. They want the existential fear for women is that they would get involved and get with a guy who is actually a beta chump, but he looked like he was alpha. Like he tricked her. He learned game. He figured out a few things to get underneath the radar, right? To figure out how to get past that hypergamous filter. Well, that hypergamous filter is there because back in our ancestral past, if a woman had sex and got pregnant with a guy who was not going to stick around, who was not actually alpha, although she thought, that could be a death sentence for her. So that's why I call that the existential fear. Now, when a guy goes and says, well, how do I get you? How do I get laid? How do I become more attractive? What's wrong with me? Tell me what's wrong with me. When a guy does that, the fact that he's doing that disqualifies him from women. He should be able to get that on his own, or he should get it from his brothers, from his father, from the other guys, by learning how other people have done it and figuring it out for himself. That implies competence and it implies confidence. So the guys who are giving out this advice don't have either of those.
Picture this. One of the first sound bites that I heard when I started to read Aaron Cleary's book and your books was, I don't know, the lyric was something along the line of, would you ask a fish how to catch it? No, you ask a fisherman how to catch a fish. Imagine asking a fish how to catch it. It would be disgusted with you. It's the same thing with women. And I get exactly what you're saying. Guys, by the way, if you're watching this on Periscope or Facebook, cool, awesome. But the links that Rollo just dropped and cited are on the YouTube channel. So go check the live chat there if you want to read those articles. We got some feedback here in super chats. Let's hit on these real quick. KW, who looks like he had a consult with Alexander personally, says he directs his content to help guys out using Evo Psych as his base. If you disagree with his methods, that's fine, to suggest he's nefarious and his intention is disingenuous. I don't think he's doing this intentionally. I think he legitimately believes that this is useful.
Yeah. Ryan and I talk about that all the time. It's like, do these guys actually believe it, or is it just a grift for them? That's the thing.
Unless to earn a living. I mean, there's nothing wrong with earning a living.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And here's, I'll go one step further. That's why I said this is not a takedown video. When I see Alexander Grace, I think he's done some good stuff in the past. I think he's done some kind of schmaltzy stuff too. But like when he was doing the man on the street kind of thing, he's trying to collect data.
Those are good.
Yeah, they were good. But it's still the same premise that he's using for this thing is, if I want sex, how do I get it? I won't go ask my friends or my brothers or find out what other guys are doing. I'm going to go to women and ask them what it is that they want. You know what? Every blue pill beta guy since, you know, the caveman days did exactly the same thing. They tried to petition for women. What do I have to do? How do I have to be? How much money do I have to make? How many do I have to have a 6-pack abs or an 8-pack abs? What do I have to do to, you know, like they're trying to figure it out from a rational, reasonable way, because that's what men do, right? Instinct, reason, and then emotion. And so I don't think he's being disingenuous. I think this is really what he thinks he's doing. This is like, it seems like a good idea.
No, apparently he was saying in the super chat that we're suggesting he's nefarious in his intention we're being disingenuous.
No, I don't think he's being nefarious. And I don't think he is being disingenuous either. I think he really honestly believes this. Yeah. And I've talked with you about this. I've talked about with us with Ryan, where when we talk about guys who are, we say, oh, like Tony Robbins, or we see like the success porn guys. Is this just a grift for them, or do they really believe it? I think probably 90% of them really honestly think that this is the way to help guys out. It's also
There's guys out there that think that Barron Trump's a time traveler and there's lizard people running the world too, right?
Do they honestly believe it? I would say a lot of people.
I think so.
Put it this way. They would, if I was to put Alexander Grace on a polygraph and said, is this really what you're saying? He'd pass the polygraph.
Yeah.
I think so.
So he offers good advice from an Evo Psych perspective, according to KW, which is good. So there's something good there. We got another super chat here from Chris. He said, thoughts on hobbies such as swing dancing, bartending, bartending is not really a hobby. That's a job. Rock climbing seems to be less the hobby and more the genuine manliness dominance from it. Mm-hmm. If that's you, Chris, I'm guessing that you're not a bartender. You look like you've got a far better day job. What do you think about that?
Day trader.
Swing dancing is a little honeypot. I've talked to Aaron Cleary about this before. And if you can dance, there's a lot of women that are physically fit, that are attractive, that want to shake their booty. So yes, definitely. And
they want to do it. And so I think what's interesting, I've had guys,
rock climbing chicks are not attractive. I've been there.
Since day one of me starting the Rational Male blog, I've had guys tell me that salsa dancing is another honeypot, swing dancing. And usually it's from guys who are a little bit older. Because guys who are like in their 20s and they're in the clubs, they're not like, they don't they're not looking for activities to do things with girls because they're in the clubs and they are already know where the women are, the girls that they want to get with. But guys who are a little bit older, like maybe in their mid 30s up through their mid 40s. Yeah. They all of these guys tell me the same thing, like swing dancing, salsa dancing, because the girls, the women in there usually want to at least feel like they're somewhat young, but they don't want to go grind in the clubs. So this is what they do. And it requires a little bit of coordination and some physical fitness too. So yeah,
it's not easy. But
like more to his question though, like hobbies and passions. I talked about this last Wednesday on my show about specific hobbies. The ones that he mentioned right there. Yeah. Those are definitely manly hobbies. And those are ones that women would see a direct benefit from, even the rock climbing too. It is, that's the kind of chick you're into. But like I was saying before, is a lot of women, if they're really into you, they will adopt your hobbies. They will adopt your music. They will adopt your sports teams. They will adopt all kinds of stuff, because women will adopt the ways and the ideas and the interests of the most masculine, most dominant male in their life. Sometimes that's their father. Sometimes it's the guy that they want to get with. And so, yeah, there are definitely some more like attractive, directly beneficial hobbies for women. But then there's a World of Warcraft. Don't do that. That's not a good hobby.
I did World of Warcraft. There's not very many hot women that are groupies for that. I got a question here from one of the guys from my group that wanted me to ask you this, Rollo, but as far as like family's dating advice, like we're talking about, is female dating advice useful? So let's take it to mom and sister, cousins, you know, like anything like that. Like, should you be listening to the advice of your family when it comes to what's good for you, what's right for you, what drives attraction and arousal with women?
I get that from guys who are the sons of single mothers. Like they will say, they'll tell me like they're looking for that father figure. We've talked about the Lost Boys generation for a long time. And I think we're actually seeing a second round of that these days. I think you saw that meme where it's like, we're now experiencing the first generation that was brought up online, on Google, on Tumblr, on Twitter, on all of these apps that we just sort of take for granted. These are your educators for social learning right now, in a global sense. And so what they'll tell me is, most of these guys are acculturated and socialized online. If they're not already, like, they have a weak beta male father, or they have no father whatsoever. So they will say, well, my mom messed me up when it comes to women, or my sister tells me stuff that I know isn't true. Or like, you can just go online right now. You can go on God forbid, go on Twitter or go on Reddit or wherever and say, I think there's probably some forums. I'm not sure what they'd be titled, but I think there's some forums right now where guys go on and sort of petition women to tell them like what they should do, or to give them specific advice. And Aaron Clary's right. As far as, the fish doesn't teach the fisherman how to catch it. The hunter, the deer doesn't teach the hunter how better to shoot it. And there's there was a reason for that, is because that an experienced, good hunter is good because he's figured these things out on his own. He's shown competence in hunting. But, I've heard that, countless times, where it's like, you don't go and ask the prey doesn't teach the hunter how best to do it. The other thing is, as far as the prey is concerned, the deer makes the wolf stronger. It makes him more cunning. It makes that wolf try to figure things out. How do I catch the deer? And the wolf teaches the deer how better to evade it, like how to be wary of it, to become, we're better as men and women when we're figuring these things out for ourselves and watching what's successful and what is not. That is why women don't like guys who don't just get it. They don't want to say, okay, well, I give up. Give me the cheat codes. And that's usually where this comes from, is, my mom wasn't telling me what I needed to know. My sister wasn't telling me what I needed to know. And all the guys I know are like beta schmucks. Help me, Rollo. Let me read your book and change my life. And usually it does, but I don't give any specific dating advice in my book per se. I mean, you can certainly use it for your dating life, and you can use it for game, and you can use it for other things as well. But I never set out to be like a dating coach. But I think that the desire to want to petition women or to find, you know, to sort of collate this information going to women in the first place, they're not going to give you the information that you're looking for. Because you have to remember that, remember when we talk about hypergamy, it's alpha seed, beta need. When you ask a woman, what are you looking for in a man? Like, just like these guys are going to do in the Alexander Grace thing, they're going to say, what are you looking for in a man? How do I get you? How do I get a girl? What's wrong with me? Tell me what's wrong with me so I can change it so that I can be more attractive to women. Tell me how to do that. And like I said, the act of actually doing that makes you less attractive, because it's admitting and acknowledging, I guess, your own incompetence. And that competency is what women are looking for.
So where should guys go to get the cold hard truth when it comes to attraction and arousal?
Right. I think a lot of guys need to learn.
I mean, it's obviously not women, right?
Learning from experience. Here's what I was saying before is when you ask a woman, what is it that you're looking for in a guy? She's not going to tell you, she's going to tell you what's attractive to her. She's not going to tell you what's arousing to her.
And it's going to be different for her depending on how old she is, where is she in her ovulatory shift. There's going to be a whole different slew of things that are going to apply to her opinion that she's going to offer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think right now, in 2020, there is such a wealth of knowledge with respect to intersexual relationships. I'm not going to try to pitch my book over anything else, but like...
I will. Buy his books.
Your books. And even if you hate my guts, at least go and look at some of the early pickup artists. Look at not like you're going to try to be like that, but understand the process that they used to better understand women, because that's what
you're asking. The Game is a great book. Neil Strauss wrote this book. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, he's a little bit odd as a character and an individual, but it's a great book. He's a good storyteller. Even he narrates his own book. I definitely recommend guys listen to or read The Game for sure. If you want to follow up to that and see where he goes from there, follow up with the truth. But yeah, like Rollo's totally right, man. Like, you know, if you want to know how to catch the fish, talk to the fisherman. You know, you got to learn the expert ways of the land. It's just not... you're just not going to get it from the fish. I don't know why people still struggle with that.
Let's just say for sake of argument, this is what I think will happen. If I were to say, okay, I'm going to give you $70. Tell me what's wrong with me. Tell me what women find attractive in a guy, and how can I become that guy? Do you have to spend that $70, or can you spend $10 and buy my book? Or can you spend, spend no money and read my blog for free? Can you go on YouTube? There's a million guys on YouTube. They'll probably tell you pretty much the same thing that these girls are going to. It's just that you think that it's more. Another post I have is called "The Horse's Mouth." Guys think that if they go to women, they're going to it's straight from the horse's mouth, right? It's she's telling me because she's a woman, and so she represents all women. And you're making the same mistake that most women will, because when you criticize, when you say something unflattering about the feminine, the first thing women will do is personalize that. Mm-hmm. Say, well, I'm as a woman, blank, 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 whatever. As a woman, here, this is my experience as a woman. What she's saying is, I'm speaking for women now because I am a woman and X, Y, and Z. And what they're going to tell you, what these girls will tell you, and if you have paid the money, I would love to hear. If you want to give me some feedback, if you actually do this, tell me what happened. But I think what's going to happen is this, is women, when you ask them what they want in a guy, the first thing they say is, what is attractive? What is long-term? They will give you all the qualities that they're looking for in beta bucks, in boyfriend material. They're not going to tell you that they get off on guys with a nice ass and six-pack abs and a V taper and a chiseled jawline. And I was drunk, he was cute, and one thing led to another in Cancun on spring break in the foam cannon party. They're not going to say that. They'll say that to their girlfriends. That's another thing, is you really want to know what women want? Don't ask them directly. Listen to what they're telling each other. The stuff that I talk about in my book and in my blogs and everything that I in my own work, it comes from observation. It comes from being a keen listener and being sort of a student of like human behavior. So when I'm, and this was, you know, back in the day when I was going to Martini Fest, or if I was going to a promo, or if there was a something I was doing for a casino or something like that, I can't get drunk. I have to be there working. But what I'm doing is I'm taking mental notes and I'm watching people's interactions. You want to know why I'm good at body language? It's from spending 10, 15 years in clubs watching men and women do this kind of stuff and listening to conversations, listening to two guys talk about the girls over here, and then listening to a group of like three or four girls talk about those guys or talk about some other group of girls or something like that. And it comes from listening and figuring out what the commonalities are. And it's never been easier to do that than today, because we have the internet, we have YouTube, we have all this social media stuff. It's there, that the information is there. You don't need to pay for it. You just have to listen. You have to be patient enough and have the desire enough to want to do that. And I don't think this generation has that. This is the TLDR generation. They want the magic pill. Oh, 70 bucks will get me laid. Sure, here you go. Teach me how to fish, help.
When's your book coming out, Rolla?
Oh, Jesus. I'm aiming for the end of this month, but don't quote me on that. It would be out right now if it weren't for this goddamn shutdown. Because I think Ryan is running into this problem too, is because he's sending off his book to get approved and everything, and there's nobody there to approve it. You know, there's no one there to do the proofing and say, you know, this is approved to go on Kindle Direct Publishing or something. So, and I'm kind of glad that I held off, because I can make it a little bit more relevant to a post-virus world rather than what I was writing about before. Because there's, again, I'm a keen student and listener to what's going on around me. Part of that is listening to people go nuts, absolutely batshit nuts over, you know, a pandemic. It's a panic. It's not a pandemic. It's a panic, a worldwide panic.
Got another super chat here. Neil says, do both of you all advise against hooking up with interested women at the gym? Ooh. They're hot, but I kind of don't want to SHIT where I eat.
Right. Thoughts. Wait, what do you say?
I don't do any pickup at the gym. I never did, man. I just kind of put on my headphones and my hat down and I throw weights around and I go. If you're going to do it, I mean, if you're getting choosing signals from her, what did he say here? Interested women. Okay, well, if they're interested, like if they're chatting you up, then take it offline. You know, I'm going to grab a coffee after this. What are you doing? You know, up in the car.
I've made that mistake once back in the day.
What's that?
I go to World Gym it's in Southern California, but I remember, you know, when I was getting, of course,
the problem is if it goes sideways, and you're still going to see them there.
Yeah, that's the only, like, it's like going to work. It's a little bit different.
Some workout chicks are a little crazy in the head. Like, they're not fully balanced, right? They've got higher levels of testosterone than most women because they're throwing around so much stuff.
Those chicks are there because they're looking for guys who work out.
Yeah.
But the girls that you would get with or would want to get with at the gym, the gym rat girls, they're there. Because I mean, I'm saying they don't like to work out. They do. They probably do. I mean, there's got to be some sort of interest and you know, love for doing it. But they're there in a gym with guys. They're not going to Curves, right? They're not going to Planet Fitness because they want to. I want to get away and just focus on my workout. No, they're there. And the girls that you would want to get with, they're there because there's hot guys there. There's guys that they want to get with. So. Yeah, maybe this is like me being, maybe I'm showing my age a little bit, but when I was going to like World Gym down in Southern California, now there was girls that were there, that all the guys who were the regulars there, they knew that those were the girls who were kind of like the gym groupies. I would say if you're going to do that, do it with caution, but remember, like, how much do you love your gym? And how hard would it be for you to leave your gym?
I have two gym memberships.
maybe that's the better thing, because because what will happen is if shit goes sideways and you're at a really good expensive gym that you really like, and then all your friends are there. Remember, you date some girl and it doesn't work out for you at the gym, and you're there and you date another girl at the gym. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. You're always going to have some drama with that.
Men,
you want to
men talk, men do.
No, you want a little drama life. Guys, I threw the StreamYard link if you want to hop in and ask a question. I like to do these more towards the end. We're coming up on the hour, so we'll probably spend another 20, 30 minutes on this topic still. Did we miss anything when it comes to taking advice from women on attraction and arousal?
I put that that link in there. I wrote this. God, when did I write this? It was a long time ago. August 29th, 2011. This is one of the earliest posts I've ever done. It's called Female Dating Advice.
Yeah.
And actually, it's funny. I started it off with, the prey does not teach the hunter how better to catch it.
There you go.
And I think that's probably a good starting point. But a lot of guys want something more than just like, well, the Rolo said not to.
Do you want to drop it in the private chat and I'll put it everywhere just so it shows up?
Yeah, here. I'll give, oh shit!
I'll just grab it. I got a guy waiting in the green room to come in.
Okay. I'll give you both of these. Just Get It is actually one of my better posts, I think.
Yeah, I'll drop it in there so you guys can see it wherever you're watching it from.
I think it's the reason why Just Get It, I think, is important, and I made sure that I put it in the first book, was because it sort of explains the observer effect, and I don't think a lot of people really get that. Like it's hard to convey. It's easier to point it out and show you how it works rather than like try to explain how it works. It's like when I say play with her and play with her, I have to emphasize those words, play with her and play with her. And guys, that's what I mean by Just Get It. It's the same principle as like, just be yourself. Well, how come I can't just be myself? Girls should just love me because I'm me and I'm just sweet, lovable, in, you know, Rolo Tomasi, and I weigh 400 pounds and I want to get with a Fitness America pageant winner. How come I can't do that? Why don't women really love? Well, because you are not good enough. Simple as that. Right. You like, maybe there's one, like guys will do this to me. Like I'll say, well, you know, if you want to attract a woman, if you want to arouse a woman who is of a certain caliber, if you're looking for a woman who is like a Fitness America competitor, or like she's a 8 or a 9, most guys would say that's an 8 or a 9 or a 10. Right. If you want to get that girl, you're going to have to up your game to some degree. And what the first thing guys will do is they'll go, well, what about this fat ass over here with this hot chick? How did he get her, Mr. Smart Guy? And I'm like, that's like one in a bazillion. And then this, what the joke is, how to spot a rich guy, you know, like big fat dude and a really hot girlfriend.
Abel makes a good point, but there's the best advice you're going to get. Don't spend $70. Listen to what Abel said. Tune into your inner asshole.
Yeah. That's why the girls like guys who are self-absorbed, who are a little bit arrogant, not like totally like jerk assholes, but like harnessing the jerk asshole vibe. The guy is competent and dominant. Those are pretty easy things to like consider, but like, how do you apply those to yourself is where everybody loses the narrative.
There you go. Richard, I pulled you in. I don't know if you're got water running in the background, but
out of the laundry room, Richard.
Yeah, there's some weird background noise. I don't know if you got water. You can turn fire. There you go.
Okay.
There we go.
Go ahead.
Is it raining? Yeah. Hi. Sorry. Yeah. No, I've got no water running. I'm not in the bathroom or anything like that. How are you guys?
Good.
Yeah. Hi. I was just typing in the chat there that I've just tried to turn a girl into a plate recently, and it was clear to me that she was branch swinging just by her reply, you know. It was just quite interesting. And as soon as I emailed her back and said, hey, look, just not interested in becoming, you know, your significant other. And if you're not happy with your existing guy, then let me know. And, you know, we can meet up once you've sorted that relationship out. But, you know, I'm not interested in being a replacement. As soon as I said that, then that was it. You know, there was, you know,
Where did you meet her? Like, where'd you come across this girl?
Look, she used to be a babysitter of mine while she was looking after the kids. So I used to work with her mother, and she worked in the same place as well. She was worked at a customer place of mine. Richard, I don't know if you remember, but we've spoken a couple of times already, and I'm in IT. And I was on site, and she was a big girl then. I mean, she had a fair bit of body meat on her.
She was a thickie.
Yeah, very much so. I don't know whether you remember back in the day, but the old Weeble Wobbles.
Yeah.
Sounds unappealing.
So, but over time, so I needed to get a babysitter. I reached out to her. She says, yeah, I'm happy to look after the kids, because she'd met the kids. I'm a single parent father doing 50-50 co-parenting. We kind of got that into that routine, but over time, she broke up with a long-term relationship. And over time, she clearly realized that getting back onto the sexual marketplace, being a weeble wobble, wasn't going to stand her in good stead. So she started to work out and things like this, and she got down to a pretty fit figure, you know. And albeit she was babysitting and things like that, I never approached her while she was babysitting, even though I could feel there was some underlying innuendos there every time we talked. So it transpired that I moved from where I was living originally, which wasn't too far from where she lived. I moved across to the kids' schools. And then she said, oh, look, I can't travel that far. I'm doing I'm trying to become a child educator. And university, etc., etc. I can't do any more babysitting. I said, yeah, fine, no worries. And then she reached out to me on LinkedIn, and I just fired off her a message in LinkedIn and said, hey, just thought I'd put it out there, but if you ever fancied one coming around and having a bit of fun, then let me know. And
so why wouldn't you just invite her over and have your fun then? Like, why would you
I invited her over.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, I invited her over, and she said, oh, when I said, oh, look, why don't you come over and we'll have some fun without the kids being here? You know, I don't have the kids every other week. And she said, oh, yeah, that would be great. I've always thought about having some fun with you. It's some adult fun with you when the kids are not around. And I thought, well, what does that mean? What are you trying to say here? And I said to her, okay, then fine. How about next week? Why don't you come over one night? I said, I don't have the kids. We can have some fun. And then I put in question marks, what was your idea of fun? I said, because I know what type of fun we're going to have. And then that was it. She didn't come back to me at all.
That's interesting. Now, that's like, you're not looking to get married again, yeah?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, like you don't want to have an LTR. You just want to have some fun is what you're saying. So just like,
that's right. Yeah.
So just throw it out there and say, all right, you know, Tuesday night, we're open, wide open. Come over at 7, bring a bottle of wine. That's it, right? You don't have to have you don't have to categorize it. You don't have to get into the details or where's this going to go or where do we stand or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's the one that's offering the let's have some fun on LinkedIn of all places. That's a really bizarre place considering she must have your number to text.
Using LinkedIn now.
She does have my number, and that the interesting thing was is that in my reply to her, I said, "Look, I said, how do you want to do this? I said, because if you're still with this guy, because she was living with a guy, I said, if you're still living with a guy, I said, how do you want to do this? I said, because I don't want to come in between you two."
No, you don't even need to bring it up. You don't even need to bring it up. She knows exactly what. Like most women in general. If they're talking to you, they're usually talking to like more than one guy. I can't remember who said it once. I think Rolly, you had a guy on for an interview, and he said there's no single girls. Like they're always with somebody.
Always with somebody. I think the other thing is because a lot of guys are going to see this and they go, "Well, she's fat. She should know like that she is not as desirable, and therefore that should in some way incentivize or make her like think in a different way." And I think that this is a really good example, a good illustration of this is that women, they're in a global sexual marketplace right now. They're like bringing women down to like reality, like rational reality right now is next to impossible. So like she might not want to talk to you or whatever. Like my advice to you, Richard, is just spin more plates, right? Just
absolutely
out there more. But this is a good illustration of even how unattractive, like less desirable, low SMB women still play like as if they've got more options than they actually do. Maybe she does. Maybe she's got beta orbiters, you know.
They always do. They have plenty of attention from
They get plenty of attention. So bear that in mind, because I think a lot of people will see this and they'll go, well, you're talking about a fat chick, who cares? And that's where I'm going to say, go spin more plates. But if we're going to learn something, we're going to take something away from this, understand that even fat chicks still think that they're, you know, a five still thinks she's an eight.
Yep. All right, Rich, going to pull you out. Thanks, brother.
All right. Thanks. Take it easy, guys. Love you both.
Thanks. There was a question here. There it is. Esther Perel.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, that was it. So what do you think of Esther Perel? I mean, she doesn't give advice on attraction and arousal. What she does, I find anyway, from the books that I've covered is, hey, here's, you know, here's been my experience in my practice. This is what I've learned. This is what you should learn. Now go do your thing.
Okay. My problem with Esther Perel is that just her approach in general tends to be very qualitative or qualifying, I guess, for mostly for men. It's usually the premise is guys need to measure up or guys need to do so. And now she doesn't say you got to do better, but it's just implied in the conversations that I hear her talk about. Now, I talked about Esther Perel with Pat Campbell probably about 8 months, maybe a year ago. And I took a lot of notes because we talked about some, I don't know if it was a TED talk or something that she did. And she left me with the impression that she struck me as kind of like what I would categorize her as a sort of the typical pop psychologist who wants to seem in some way relevant, but is trying to be edgy by saying, you know, women need to, like, she's an anti-feminist, but she's still like, her advice still makes me think that she is very gynocentric. She's still thinking about like guys have to, you know, do these things to make this woman happy, and therefore you will have a better life. Like, she was talking about fighting. That's what it was. She was saying that for a healthy relationship works like this, right? Like, you love each other, you come together, you have sex, blah, blah, blah. You go and you start to get sick of each other. You fight it out. And then after the fight, you make up and then you go back into the cycle again. And she was claiming that that's like the key to a healthy relationship is to be able to go through that cycle of fighting and come back around and come out of it. And I'm like, that is some really majorly screwed up ideas right there. Because
okay, let me just chime in for a sec, because this is like me as a new guy, right? So how can I put this? If you're going through that cycle and you're playing the mental gymnastics of all that shit, there's a lack of full genuine desire and you don't have frame. Mm-hmm. Right? I would not put myself in a position where I'd follow that advice, if I'm being honest.
I think one of the toughest things,
I think her observations are good. Like, she's got some good books.
I'm not saying she's worthless or anything. I think she's got some good stuff. I'm just saying that when it comes to her breakdowns or like what it is that she's thinking of, I think she's still, and this is, I would say this of pretty much, I would say this of Dr. Taylor Burrows. I would say this of like Dr. Babe. I would say this of like even the chick that you were showing me, you know, with the big boobs and everything, trying to be your wingman or whatever. There's a lot of female life coaches that will gladly cut out a guy like Alexander Grace and have you pay them a subscription fee so that they can be your wing woman or whatever, and pretty much do the same kind of thing. There's women that are doing that right now, but in every instance, this is another, this is back on topic again. In every instance, when women are giving you that advice, they think that their individualized, their personalized experience is the global universal experience. So when I read like Dr. Babe, or I read who's the other girl, or even women that I actually respect, like Dr. Helen Smith, she's got a good head on her shoulders. There are some women who know what they're talking about. There really are. Like, I like Janice Villamingo. I think she's pretty good, but she's still the sisterhood. And if she's going to give you advice, that advice is going to be rooted in her own solipsism. It's going to be rooted in, not in an objective, you know, sense. It's unless it's a very practiced, a very learned way of doing things. But for the most part, particularly women who build themselves as life coaches, they're going to give you advice based on what their solipsism tells them should be the universal advice that I'm a representative of the sisterhood. And so therefore, as a woman, this is what I'm saying. And I'm saying that that's always going to be a biased advice. It's always going to be based in what works best for the sisterhood.
So, Robert, I'm going to pull you in next to throw your question out. Before we do that, I'm going to throw this up here for you, Rolo, to respond to. Everyone's nuts over Rolo. We're not going to deal with the ad hom attack.
Deal with that, actually.
All right, whatever. You know, you look like a whatever soy boy.
Right.
Is Rolo still relevant because he's an over the hill married guy? you know, like,
well, okay. So there's that. So first off, actually I'm not even going to grace that. The thing is if you want to say, well, Rolo doesn't lift, I'm go look at my Instagram account and, you know, hey, I'll tell you what, I don't have a guy
that's not on TRT. He's pretty stacked.
Yeah. I don't have a gut. You won't see pictures of me drinking it up in Poland, dancing on tables with a big belly hanging over my belt. So
that was horrible.
Let's just look. I'm 52 years old. I'm in damn good shape for my age. I am reasonably fit. I just muscled around an 800-pound snowmobile about 4 hours ago. So as far as like, that's the other thing is like, so, okay, fine. If you want to say,
so as far as the relevancy, like let's set aside the,
is what I'm saying making sense to you?
Yeah.
Does it make a difference to you? Like I get this all the time. Cause I get it from both sides. Cause guys will say, well, Rolo's not out in the field. He's not banging eights and tens. He's not nailing hotties on the weekend. So therefore we shouldn't listen to him. All right. Well,
here's
go find a guy who is and tell me why he is saying anything different than what I'm going to tell you anyways.
Here's what I want to add to that, because I always tell guys to consider the source, right? Mm-hmm. Would you want to exchange your life with the person dispensing the advice to you? I can tell you from my own personal experience and perspective, because I've been to conventions. I've met many of these people out here that purport to be experts with, you know, massive lay counts and success and multi-million dollar businesses. And most of them are liars, fakes, and losers. I can tell you that.
Now, I would agree with that.
Now, yeah. And I mean, like we've both shared some experience with some of those too. Now, with that being said, I mean, you've got a guy that's been in a successful marriage for well over 20 years, has a great family connection. I've met his wife. I've seen pictures of his daughter. She's well put together. I would trade my life for a guy like Rolo Tomassi's life, if that's the life that I would want to have. I have read his books. I recommend his books. He puts himself out there for free, for the most part, broadcasting to the world, answering questions. So is he relevant? Yes. Is he? I would like choosing between somebody like Alexander Grayson, not to disparage him, but a younger kid with messy hair and somebody that's been married for a long period of time, that's published three books, that has a wealth of experience over a long period of time and managed to spend a lot of time observing in the liquor industry how these interactions happen. And I think that there's nothing more truthful than what happens when people start drinking, because they really like lower their filtration process and they behave more like themselves. I always say that alcohol amplifies who somebody is, and so does money. You know, you get a drunk rich guy, you know, in a room and some weird things happen there too. But yeah.
I can speak to, like, at 52 years old, I just turned 52. And you know, it's funny. It's like Pat Campbell will tell me, never reveal your age. I don't have a problem with revealing my age. I think
it doesn't matter. I think it's better when you reveal it. I'm 46.
I'm in pretty good shape, and I've lived a pretty decent life up to this point. Now, the thing is like when I was 18 years old, I was a blue pill chump. When I was, you know, in my teenage years, I was definitely kind of, you know, I had to come out of that. In my early 20s through my mid 20s, I was, I would say, an alpha male playing in the Hollywood metal scene. It's no secret that my notch count is about 43, somewhere around there. And I'll tell you what's funny about that is when I talk to certain guys and I say, yeah, my notch count is 43. If I'm talking to trad cons, they'll think I'm a man whore. Oh yeah, how horrible of you. How are you having all this meaningless sex? But if I say that and then I say, well, I'm not out there, I'm not a pickup artist, I'm not getting laid all the time, and I'm not like nailing hotties every other weekend, they'll go, well, they look at that 40 and they go, dude, you got to get those are rookie numbers, you got to get those up, you know, like, so I'm getting it from both sides. If I'm trying to, you know, if I'm appealing to one demographic or another demographic, you're always going to find some way to hate on me. But I went through this alpha phase during my 20s, my rock star 20s that I keep talking about. I've dealt with a BPD woman before for about 4 years. Anna came out of that. I've been married to my wife for coming up on 24 years. I have a great relationship with her. You've met her. She's in fantastic shape. She looks good. I still enjoy having sex. I've had lots of sex. Thank you, quarantine. for the last six, so I'm going on 7 weeks now. I have a daughter who is a pageant winner. I have a daughter who is graduating this year from a major university, magna cum laude, and she's going on to get her master's degree. I have raised a daughter from infancy to womanhood. So I have things that
I'll stop you there, Rollo. You're the fucking dude. Don't even worry about that stuff.
There are things that I can speak to. So if you're going to say, well, you're not out there fucking hot chicks all the time. Okay, fine. You know, but yeah. You know, it is what it is. Yeah,
we got another question here. Matt Hussey Blue Pill. Yes. Thoughts on Love is Blind. That's some narrative BS soundbite that the mainstream wants you to believe. Chad Lands, 20K student jet. Millionaire OG Tate gets flakes even. Bachelor life is the way forward. Okay. I see some questions in there and some statements.
Matt Hussey is definitely Blue Pill. So we can start with that.
Matt, what do you think about on the thoughts of Love is Blind?
Scripted. My same thoughts. Love is Blind, Love is Blind, Love Island, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. Trust me, I've worked in advertising and I've worked in like promotions and marketing and stuff long enough to know that a show like Love is Blind, The Bachelor, all that stuff, there's too much money exchanging hands for it not to be scripted. Yeah. So when you see that now, I've talked with other guys about this and they say, well, art imitates life, or it wouldn't be a big deal if it didn't in some way line up with like hypergamy. Cause you'll see those themes a lot in those kinds of shows, and understand that the people who are writing those, they get it. But they don't want you to get it. They're feeding, really, those shows like Love is Blind, Bachelor, all that stuff. It is feeding women's need for indignation. And if you're a guy that you're along for the ride, guess what? It appeals to you because you've been feminized enough to appreciate the indignation that it represents. So that's really that's pretty much my take on those.
Got another one here from Doug. I'll play in a sec, Rob. Rollo's in the game. To remain married that long, you better listen. Thankful he's married and not single game. Great chat. Thanks, man.
I didn't marry a single mother. I didn't marry a woman who had three kids before with two different husbands beforehand. I'm not on stage trying to pretend I'm somebody that I'm not. I try to stay as objective. I've said this before and I'll say it one more time. I have an obligation to objective truth. As much as that is humanly possible for a guy like me, I understand that my point is to stay as close to objective truth as I possibly can.
There's probably five people that watch Rollo live that know who the real Rollo Tomasi is. And I can tell you, he's a humble man. He's far greater than what he lets on to.
With fault.
To the world. Yes, with fault. Rob, you're up. Let's play you in. And see what you got to say, brother. What's shaking, man?
Hey, how's it going, R&R? I don't know if you remember, I talked with you guys a couple months ago about the event, me helping out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Remember
yeah.
the sound guy?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. So there you are.
I didn't have my webcam on. I didn't realize I was in that Starbucks. And I'm like, wait a minute. Later on, I'm like, wait, my webcam wasn't even on.
No, we've moved it down to October. Sorry, man. I forgot to email you on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I figured that you knew because
No. I've been watching. I know.
I'll shoot you an email with the details.
Two things I thought of. One. Sorry. Okay, great. I think you said you guys are moving October 2nd.
Hmm? Yeah, it's the first weekend of October, whatever that falls on.
Okay. Yeah, no, I already marked off my calendar. Awesome. So I noticed two things. Well, one of them was you talk about when you get into that like kind of red pill mindset, like I felt it just click one day, I don't know. It was just like, I was watching some sort of TV show and I'm like, oh, well this girl's doing this because of this. And I was like, wait a minute. I never even would have thought that way last week.
You start to see a lot of things really differently.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. That's definitely it. But I kind of hit Rollo with this question yesterday, and I was I wanted to kind of like explain it out a little bit better about the whole like basically it was my I had a roommate who just moved to Colorado to be with this girl that he's known for 3 months, and they're trying to have a kid. He did the same thing coming out to Vegas from Northern California, where I'm from. And when I talked with him about it, I was trying to get him to not do this. Of course that didn't work. But when I talked to him in the past, like, you know, he thought red pill, but something changed. And that's why I was kind of asking Rollo if like, you know, like if a traumatic thing could change. Cause like, you know, like, you know, like he hit 40 and all of a sudden he's like, well, it's time to have a kid. And he found the first girl willing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a minute, you used to be a pimp. Like literally he was a pimp in the Bay Area. I'm like, so what changed here? You know? So I don't know. I thought maybe you guys have some insight. I mean,
do you think that guys go through phases like women do? I think guys do to some degree, you know, when they get to a certain point, they're like, all right, you know, maybe I should just wife somebody up. And if I can't, then I'll just marry a single mom with two kids in tow already.
Right.
You know,
go ahead, good.
Oh no, I was gonna say I kind of agree with that because you know, in my you know rock star 30s, I was playing around. I was a DJ, playing parties, having a great old time. And when I was 32, I had cancer, which was pretty serious. And I was lucky. Now I have the rich haircut because of it. But I wasn't even thinking about settling down until that. And then I married this woman, and let's just say, I would have been better off had I not had cancer, because you know she was worse.
Wow.
Well, you know, she choked me out in the lobby of a hotel and had to be restrained by four staff. So, you know, and of course, you know how it is being a man. I just put my hands above my head because I don't want to go to jail. So, that was kind of my thinking. Is maybe it's like a traumatic scenario that like, oh, maybe I need a wife now. You know, kind of thing. You know. I don't know. I just kind of wanted your thoughts on it. Like I asked you about it yesterday, Rollo.
I don't know. What do you think, Rollo?
Okay. Well, when guys ask me stuff like this, like, aren't there certain times in a man's life where he wants to settle down and get out of the game? And yeah, there are. The problem is most guys do that prematurely. Most guys will like, I've turned guys around from being like very blue pill to being more red pill, and like going out and experiencing like better quality women. They dump their old girlfriend. They get with some better quality women. They for like 3 or 4 months. And then what they do to me is they say, okay, Rollo, thanks. Got it from here. I'll see you later. And then I find out like 3 or 4 months later, they've got with one girl who was better looking than, you know, granted the one that they were with, but they never killed that beta blue pill idealism that is a necessary requirement of internalizing the red pill, having that red pill lens, as you were describing right there. Because what they'll do is they'll just use the red pill long enough to find the girl who's like the girl of their dreams, right? I talk about this all the time. It's was it Dream Girls and Children with Dynamite? And when you give guys just enough red pill to sort of experience and consolidate on the girl of their dreams, the problem with that is that they don't know how to live with that person, and they don't know like women's nature well enough because they've never internalized that. Now, that's one thing. That's why I always kind of like have to take this with a grain of salt. But like, if you look at a guy like, let's just say, for example, a guy like Roosh, who has been playing the game for a very long time, you know, say what you want to about Roosh being a grifter or whatever, but like, for instance, let's just say for sake of argument, you get to 40 years old, you don't have a wife, you don't have kids, you don't have anything really what most guys, if you're going through sort of a, you know, regular lifestyle that you probably by the time you're 40, you probably have at least two kids. Maybe one of them's out of college, depends on how you sort of arrange things. But I think there's this expectation of guys that you're at certain stages of life, this is where you ought to be along the way. You can agree with that. You can disagree with that. That's fine. Like right now, if you want to live the bachelor lifestyle, that's fine. But understand that there are liabilities that come along with that. There are liabilities for being married. There are liabilities for just, you know, having a kid and paying child support. There's all for your lifestyle. The choices that you make in anything really are going to have liabilities. But what you're saying right here is something I put this in the chat as well. Is I have this post called The Script. And usually the script goes something like this. guys will become these incorrigible bachelors, and you'll see this story play out in like the works of like Shakespeare. And it's stuff that's been around, like this theme, this archetypal story has been around for a very long time. And you get the guy who is a freewheeling 18-year-old till he's maybe 28 years old, and he's banging chicks left and right. And he's like, I'm going to be a confirmed bachelor for the rest of my life. And then suddenly he meets the one. And the one is like, it's like Beauty and the Beast, right? There's the Belle finally meets the Beast, and the Beast is this incorrigible, you know, bachelor. It's like Tucker Max, for instance. Tucker Max is a perfect example of this. He's this incorrigible college guy who's, you know, documenting his sexual escapades for a very long time. He gets with this one girl, knocks her up, and suddenly she's the one. And now his life changes, and now he's following what I call the script, which is, now I have to put away all of that libertine past, and I have to be a husband and a mature guy and think about the future and think about my children. And maybe he's not wrong, but he's still following that script. And so there, that's something to think about as well. But the other thing is you will get to a point, and this is just sort of general knowledge about the red pill, is you will get to a point where you internalize it. And when you internalize a red pill, you'll do exactly what you just did, which is, I watched this TV show. I listened to this song that I used to love, but now I can't stand it because it's like, it's the lyrics are just so sappy and blue pill and soy right now. And it might be something you sang when you were a high school kid, and you're like, you're singing along, you love it and everything. And then now you're 28, 36, whatever. And you go, what was I thinking? Because you have a different perspective on it. It's internalized right now. So it starts to become your second nature. And that's where I want most guys to get with respect to the red pill when it comes to intersexual dynamics, is to for it to be your natural response. So when we talk about like shit tests, or do you have to game your wife, or do you have to do these kinds of things? Like, no, because I am the game. And it's something that is just sort of my part of my personality now, because I've internalized it. So I do the same thing that you do. Like, I'll watch TV, or I'll listen to a song. I'll be listening to a song just on radio coming back from sledding today, and I'll go, man, I love this song. It's great. And then I listen to the lyrics and I go, yeah, you know. So you sing along with it because you still dig the song, but it's not something that you can sort of invest your ego into anymore, because you know better. And it just comes from education and internalizing it.
It's just part of the growth, man.
No, Rollo, you're absolutely right. I mean, I do a lot of work with music, so that kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. All of a sudden, it's like, wait, all this music I've heard most of my life, it's like a joke. You're like, wait a minute, what?
That's the easy stuff that you can live with.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. One of the interesting ones is, years ago, I used to be a fairly well-known electronic music DJ in the Bay Area of California. And that afforded me certain options, you know what I mean, in terms of dating. You kind of know that. And so I don't know. So what do you think about this? Is, I was dated these really beautiful girls, and they just all seemed to be just a big pain in the ass, I guess is the best way to put it. Is, you know, it was like, wait a minute. It's like, you're dressed up, we're at this nice restaurant, and all you're doing is complaining. You have nothing to like bring to the conversation. It's like, I started kind of dumbing down the SMV of the girls I would date, so I'd kind of have a better time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and that comes with internalizing the red pill. That's something that you're seeing right now, is you understand, you'll get to a point where you will understand women's nature enough that you can use it in a tactical sense. So it's like, okay, this is a hot chick. I really want to have sex with her, but there's no way am I going to have some sort of long-term relationship with her, because she is at a stage in her life, a stage of maturity, where I'm not going to put up with that shit, but I'll be happy to bang her. But I'm not going to deal with that kind of stuff. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the second book, was to sort of give guys an idea, like timeline wise, what it is that they could expect from women. Once that now, when you're reading the book, it's like, oh, you're trying to absorb all this. But after a while, you go, okay, I know this girl is 28 years old. She's into this kind of stuff. She likes this kind of music. She likes to go to the club. She's talking to her girlfriends all the time. Like, what the mistake that I think a lot of guys do, particularly in MGTOW and the Black Pill and everything, is they think all women are like that. That's all women are just like this. They're all online, and they're all entitled, and they're all spoiled little princesses and everything else. And it's like, yeah, at that certain demographic, sure. Because their priorities are different than when they're 29 to 31. And guys will say, well, I don't want to deal with that. Okay, well, then don't deal then with
it. Yeah, you just
and go and find and deal with a woman who's younger, deal with a woman who's older, whatever.
Have you gone through those 20 red flags that I put out in that chapter, Rob?
No, I haven't actually looked at it. I was kind of going to wait for the book to come out, but then all this happened. So should probably just go check that out now. Yeah, it might be a while before we're seeing any books.
It's going to be a couple months by the sounds of things, the way that Ryan and Rolla are kind of explaining. Do I have it? Yeah, I got it up on the screen. So you can just go to entrepreneursandcars.com/red flags.
Nice. I'm subscribed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We're seeing it here in Vegas. It's so weird right now. If you drive down to the strip and it's just dark, it's yeah. Very creepy.
Is everything
right
closed
now
on Vegas? Like the casinos are still down. The strip's pretty
casinos
much
are down. Yeah, no. In fact, interestingly enough, Nevada, it started cracking down. Like Vegas was pretty good about shutting down all the stuff it was supposed to, but all the outlying areas like Indian Springs, you know, like they were keeping their bars and stuff open. They're coming. They're taking your business license. If you have a liquor license, it's gone. Like you will never get a business license again. Really? Like if you're open. Oh yeah. Wow. I live in a decenter area near Summerlin, and I'm seeing cops all the time. There was a helicopter circling around yesterday. I know crime is definitely getting worse. Mm-hmm. You know, so
in Reno, the tribe properties are closed. Downtown Reno is dark, which is weird to see. Mm-hmm. But like Reno is, or parts of Reno anyways, are a lot more rural. So it's like God's guns and glory, you know, guts out here. So like when I was, I took the sleds up to Mount Rose today, and I was actually, when I went up there with my buddy Greg, I said, we're probably going to get stopped. And he's like, so what? What are they going to do? Catch us on our snowmobiles? Run after us in the snow.
We used to do those on our bikes when we'd run the cops.
For us. I'm like, well, they can leave a ticket. You know, for me right now, I'm so desperate to go out and get a run that I'll take the $50 ticket. Yeah. But nobody did. As far as I can see, there's a lot of cars on the road, but you're right. There are a lot of businesses are closed, but it doesn't mean that like people aren't out and about. I think that like families sort of cluster together and they go out and walk the dog or go ride their bikes or go to the park or whatever. You can still do that right now here. And I think Reno is a different vibe than Vegas is, because Vegas has more population than we do.
Well, that's definitely for sure. I have a friend of mine who lives out in Indian Springs, and I don't know if you know where that is, but it's about 30 minutes north. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, she was telling me, she's like, there's not much out here, but everything that's out here is still open because they're out in Indian Springs. They don't care. But there is that military base right there. And she's been telling me that there has been a massive amount of activity at that base. Mm-hmm.
Well, they will eventually.
Oh yeah, I was like, yeah, National Guard is staging.
Yeah, they're getting ready.
Fallon is doing the same thing too.
All right, dude. Thanks for hopping on. We'll see you guys. Right. Well, we'll see you in the fall then, right? We'll see you in October.
Absolutely. Keep me updated. And all right, have a good one, guys.
Thanks, bud. All right. I think with that being said, we'll wrap it up. Let me just make sure I got the last few super chats here. Girl said, you guys need to ignore the comments that question your relevancy. Sometimes we like to hit on them, although I think about 90% of them we do just breeze over. We don't even pay attention.
Well, and the other thing is, when you do that, like people say, oh, you shouldn't respond to haters. Well, consider it not me responding, because I don't think that I can ever convince people.
No, you don't try to change your mind.
It's just mine, but it's a public service announcement to people who haven't, whose mind I might be able to change.
So. Yeah. It's like, guys, always question this. Like, if you're going to take anything from this broadcast, you know, we started talking about, should you be taking attraction advice from women? Who is it that you're going to listen to when they're dispensing advice? Are you willing to trade places with that person? There's a lot of people out there that offer advice to guys, young men, impressionable young men, that aren't really speaking from a great position, if I'm being honest. And the problem with the internet, especially things like YouTube, is the barrier to entry is very low, right? I mean, everybody presses the same upload button. You can do it from a phone now. So question things, ask why, question things. I mean, if you're questioning a guy like Rolo as far as, is he relevant? I mean, the question I'd be asking you is, are you stupid, right? You know, like, have you read the books? Have you watched any of the content? There's lots of stuff out there.
90% of them won't, though, because
they won't. They
believe the hater hype is what they believe.
Well, the problem is a lot of people want a villain, right?
Well, what gets me is like even the worst of my haters still use my terminology. They still use my material out of my books. They still, they'll be happy to lift like stuff for days, but.
Yeah, they love using it.
They love what I do. They want to, if they don't want to actually be me, they want to find some way to tear me down so they can take my material and run with it and do something else with it. And
it is what it is. If you don't have haters, you're not doing something.
Well, you know what? What was it? Hotep Jesus told me, he says, there's no such thing as haters. He said, there are only future clients and free advertisers.
There are no haters. All right. Well, with that being said, yeah, we'll get it wrapped up. Real quick, I got a shout out to the channel sponsor, Grandike. I got to move my finger in the right direction. I do it weird. It's fucking reversed. That way. Grandike soap, tactical soap, and beard oil. Boom. Stuff that I use. I mean, it's good. You know, if you've enjoyed the broadcast and the show, it's high quality stuff. Doesn't disrupt your endocrine system. Infused with pheromones. Go out and grab some. Link is pinned in the top description below, or just go to coopersoap.com. Rollo, it's good seeing you, brother.
Yeah, it's always fun, man. I'd be happy to do this with you again. I know you were looking for like other people to help you out with before the train wreck. I think it'd be fun to do that. We do good stuff, man. We do good shit together. Like you, me, Ryan, when we did, last Sunday, when it was all four of us on, that was a really kick-ass show, so.
Yeah, I'll put another one on soon. So what do you got coming up this week? You got a show on Wednesday?
I have a show on Wednesday. I'm working on an interview with this Indian lady who did Deepika, and I can't pronounce her last name. It's Bawajaran or something like that. She's an Indian woman who has done these documentaries on the state of marriage and the state of Me Too and things like that in India. And I've followed her for a very long time. She's a very interesting person. I want to talk to her about a few things. First of all, is like her work and the documentary and like basically Me Too in India is kind of like Me Too here on steroids. So it's, remember we were talking about how women's existential fear, they pretty much have put that into law in
India. I heard.
So if you have sex with a woman and you don't marry that woman, and if you misrepresent yourself in some way, you're basically a rapist It's pretty much put into law there. So we're going to talk about that. She's done at least two documentaries I know. So I'm going to try to, we're working it out for Wednesday. It might be at a different time. It might be at like 1 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday. So I'll do it a little bit earlier, but I think it's going to be a really fascinating interview. I'm also going to talk to her about Hinduism and really Krishnaism with respect to Western women, because when I'm writing the book about religion, one of the things I found along the way was there's a new kind of renewed appeal for like Hare Krishna amongst Western women. And so I want to ask her about those things and say, like, why is it appealing and that kind of stuff. And then, of course, Rule Zero will be Saturday. We're going to do, I want to do an all live call-in show so people can like the people who are going to be at Rule Zero Live in Vegas. I want to do something special for them.
That'd be
cool. Get an 18th. So I want to get a full panel on. And all I want to do is just take one question after the other and just like do a round table kind of thing with us. So kind of like what we're going to do anyways, but we got to do it virtually now. So.
And I should mention, I'm just checking my DMs here. So I've got I normally do a playing to win at least a few times a month. So I got one lined up for the 16th, which is Thursday, and this will be different. I'm going to be interviewed by one of the guys from my community that's been in there for a few years. So he's got a bunch of questions he's going to queue up. So never been interviewed that way before on my own channel on Playing to Win. So I'll check that out this week. I'll probably have one or two other videos. I got to get the edits done and some thumbnails on and pop them out this week. So hopefully you guys are having fun with the COVID and keep yourself busy, staying out of trouble. Stay away from...
I'm going to go back up the hill. Huh? There's still snow up there. I want to go. I didn't get busted that time. Maybe I'll go up on Friday.
Yeah, enjoy, man. I saw the pictures you posted today on Twitter. It looks awesome.
Had a good day today.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next broadcast. Peace out.